Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to The Big Ticket, Variety and iHeart's new film podcast. I'm your host, Mark Malkin. Today, we've got Keanu Reeves talking about the third John Wick movie. And then later, wait till you hear his idea about another Speed with Sandra Bullock. It's all coming up today on The Big Ticket, so stay tuned.
Hey everybody, this is Jake Brennan, host of Disgraceland and the 27 Club. I want to talk to you about another podcast that I produce called Blood on the Tracks, the Phil Spector story. Blood on the Tracks, the Phil Spector story is a 10-episode look at the madness and genius of record producer Phil Spector. Phil Spector and the music he created shifted and shaped American culture. But behind his famous wall of sound, there was a darkness, violence, and an intense inferiority complex that those who knew him and worked with him were all too familiar with, and that led to the senseless murder of actress Lana Clarkson. With Phil's recent death in the news, Blood on the Tracks has become all the more relevant. Just like Phil Spector, this podcast sounds like nothing you've heard before, because you can't push the needle into the red without leaving a little blood on the tracks. Listen to Blood on the Tracks, the Phil Spector story on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome back to The Big Ticket. I'm your host, Mark Malkin. Right now, I've got Keanu Reeves. I sat down with Keanu in New York City, where he was promoting John Wick 3 Parabellum. He returns for the third installment of the action franchise, but this time, he's joined by Halle Berry, a very mysterious and very badass woman from John Wick's past. Hello, Mr. Reeves.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. So, last night I tried to keep track of how many men you killed in this one.
Why would you do that?
Because I'm so curious to know how many I tried to do it.
But you're watching a film. Why are you paying attention to that? You must not have been doing our job if you're like, well, I can see how you'd be like kind of another one. Okay,
well,
how did you do?
I got up to about 15 and then you got to Casablanca.
Oh, okay.
And that.
Yeah. But it's not just me in this chapter, right?
No,
we've got
it's
some
not.
New characters and there's some new things going on and there's some other people doing some assassinating and fighting for their lives.
It's pretty amazing. The fight scenes are just incredible.
Oh, I'm glad you liked them.
They're so impressive. I mean, it's just, I was just interviewing Halle Berry and we were talking about how they're like ballets. They're choreographed ballets.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think it takes all of that kind of... I mean, I think they have things in common, right? So there's a vision for the fight. And through that is also the story of the fight and the story of the characters in that. And I think that's what the director, Chad Stahelski, really brings to it is that consideration that the fighting has to be part of the story for the characters and even for the kind of the creation of the world. And then the vision... The team of people that goes into working the choreography out, working it, introducing the performers, teaching it to them, us working with who we're going to fight with, introducing the camera element, the operators, how to film it, shoot it, lighting department, production design. I mean, it is a real performance. And I think it's also there for me, part of the joy of that too, is that it hopefully is immersive and creates a connection between the audience and the character.
Well, I kept grabbing onto my producer last night.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, let's just talk about the first kill that you do in the movie.
Oh, yeah. That's a like, whoa!
That's literally what I was doing.
Oh, my God.
I
mean, what was that? Oh, my God.
Cracked his neck on a book.
What are you giving it away for? You gave it away.
No, I haven't. There's so much more. I mean, do you even look at some of the stunt work or some of the kills going, oh, really? That's where we're going to go?
Yeah. I mean, that was a lot of fun. I mean, I think there is something about the John Wick tone.
Right.
I think there is a tone that through the course of the films that I think we can say that's a John Wick tone,
right?
Like there is something fun about that. I think even in all of the balletic violence consequence, there's always some kind of, you know, there's that motorcycle fight with swords. I mean, it's like, come on, you know, but then there's some really close contact,
right.
Intimate, you know, moments too.
I mean, when you're fighting in Grand Central Station,
yeah,
and none of the commuters are looking at you.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like, is John Wick just a whole different, I don't even know what the scientific word is, like in a different universe? Like you're not even on, when you're not part of.
Well, some people would say it's like we're in New York. Right? Some people would say that.
Yeah.
And for us, it was part of a concept. Like we've always wanted to make a distinction between the real world and this hyper-continental high table
right.
world, you know. And some people traverse both sides, like in John Wick 1, Jimmy the police officer, right? You
yep.
know, like, everything okay in there? You know, all right, have a good night. You know, and in Chapter 3, yeah, we go in there and there's some violence, but we wanted to separate that, make that distinction,
right.
that there is a real world and then there is this other world. And I think it's fun. Again, I think that's fun.
Did you ever think when you were making the first movie, we'd be sitting here talking about a third John Wick?
No, I mean, you can't. I mean, it's really a rare, special thing
right.
that I think myself and Chad Selsky, the director, the producers are really grateful for. I mean, you hope that people like what you do. And we certainly had hope and ambition for what we could do in John Wick. So, you know, it's really to the fans who have said, okay, we like this film.
Right.
It's really giving us the opportunity to continue. And that's something that you can't really, I mean, we were a small independent movie,
right?
Right. We were, I think we were Negative Pickup. So it was like, we didn't know what was going to happen, but we know we loved what we made and continue to make. And so, hopefully people will like Chapter 3.
Number 4. Are we set up already?
Again, it's up to the audience. I mean, I think, you know, we have tons of ideas. And like, you know, even from the first John Wick, we were like, what would happen? You know, we didn't think, but we were like, you know, and after during Chapter 2, we had some ideas. And so, yeah, I mean, we have some ideas, but then we also cook it up as
right.
we go along, which is cool because we're not beholden.
Mm-hmm.
It can be great to have some IP, but it's also cool to have freedom.
And Halle Berry.
Halle Berry.
So who came up with that idea? Were you guys sitting around going, you know what? She's Sophia.
Yeah. Well, we had a character named Sophia. And I don't know how that happened. I don't know. I think Chad was contacted.
Mm-hmm.
I think Chad, like, I think the script went out.
Yeah.
And I've come to learn that Halle Berry was a fan of the films.
I know. She told me, she was like, I love John Wick 1 and 2.
Yeah. I mean, because, you know, Halle Berry's a badass.
She really
and,
is.
She comes from badassery. She's gone to the school of badassery. And or maybe she was a teacher. Maybe she was a founding member. So it was cool that she was interested, and it was wonderful to work with her. And, you know, her commitment, some people say they want to do John Wick training and mm-hmm. that doesn't, they get introduced to it and they're like,
get me a stunt double.
Maybe not, you know, but that's been rare. Right. I mean, like when I worked with Common on Chapter 2, he was like all in.
Right.
It was amazing. And on Chapter 3 to watch Halle, because she had to work with these animals, right? The Belgian Malinois,
yeah.
the dogs. And that was no joke. And that was, I believe she was like at least 6 months yeah, involved she told me with
she,
them.
They were tiny little puppies, and yeah, she was some of their
yeah.
trainer.
So that's all in.
Were you scared?
You know,
of those
she
dogs?
Heard she broke ribs.
Yeah, I know.
She was like, I'd see her at the gym. I'd be like, wow. And I think you see that on screen yeah. because her performance.
That sequence is like, just phenomenal.
Wow.
Were you scared of those dogs?
Myself? Yeah, yeah. When I first met them, certainly.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, the first thing the trainer said to me is don't look at them. Like when you're getting close, don't look them. Don't look at them in the eye.
It sounds like some actors don't look in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Like, don't look them in the eye.
Yeah. But these ones are, yeah. Yeah. Canine. Killers.
And of course, when they say don't look in the eye,
really
what do you want
sweet.
To do?
Yeah, because then they're running over to Hallie. She's petting them. And I can't look at them. You know, wow. And that's when I knew how serious it was. And yeah, everyone it took. I think the trainers worked with those animals for almost a year.
Wow.
For them to be able to do the choreography.
It really comes down to the dogs, doesn't it, in these movies?
No, it doesn't. No, no. They're fundamental and very important.
So Hallie breaks three ribs.
Yeah.
Where are you in the injury wise?
No, I'm good. I'm good.
Nothing?
Yeah. No, I work with, you know, everyone. I didn't get injured, which was great.
How do you stay in shape to do that stuff?
I mean,
that's nuts.
No, I mean, it's, I love it, you know, and I think, you know, love helps you.
Mm-hmm.
Help. And I just have to take care about recovery.
Yeah.
You know, try and keep eating, eat right. And cold water is great. Hot water is great. And massage is great. Yeah.
And let's talk about some other scenes. I mean, let's just talk about every time you shoot someone in the head, you don't shoot them just once.
No.
You shoot them at least two times.
Well, that's because of, I mean, I don't, please don't give anything away, no. But there's some circumstances into this reason.
For some of them.
You're right. Yes. Sometimes
you're just shooting guys twice in the head.
Yeah. You got to make sure.
Because what would happen?
I mean, tactically, depending on what, you know, there are some tactical perspectives where it's not good enough for just one.
But you're not shooting them even from far away from the
I'm
head.
I'm just it's saying like tactically, it's not unsound. Some people might talk about rounds, you know, and, but, you know, but yeah, that's John Wick.
Is it fun when you're
pretend
shooting?
Yeah, fake fighting's fun. Yeah, fake fighting's fun. I mean, it's fantastical, right? I mean, mm-hmm. I mean, to be able to have John Wick's agency and capability and all of that's like a, you know, it's cowboys right. and Indians,
well,
right? It's fun.
And the other thing is.
And ridiculous.
Like I remember like when Kill Bill came out and people said, it's so violent. And I said, but it's such over the top violence
yeah.
that it didn't affect me as if it was trying to be real.
Right.
So John Wick, like as much as, yes, I was grabbing onto my producer at times going, you know it's not real. So
yeah, I think it's like, unless you're being affected by the gore, I think it's just the intensity of yeah. it perhaps sometimes.
And how much glass were you thrown through in this movie?
Yeah, that was, I wasn't thrown. My, the stunt double who plays John Wick is Jackson Spidell, mm-hmm. Earned his money.
That's where you draw the line, not being thrown into glass.
No, they don't let me do that.
Would you want to?
I'd probably do it once and then say, Jackson, buddy, you were right. Why'd you let me do that?
Well, it seemed like it was you. I mean, it's just
that's good.
Whole like hall of mirrors and the glass. It was just so genius.
Yeah, it was fun. It's a, you know, I mean, the director, Chad Stahelski, really likes just demolishing John Wick. I mean, do you remember in chapter 2, that stair fall mm-hmm. in Rome, where they just keep going down and down? Yeah, that was Jackson and Danny. And I mean, that's legit.
And how many lives does John Wick have?
I hope he has enough.
I mean,
I hope he has
there's
a lot
one scene, I'm not
going
to spoil it. There's one scene where I'm just like, yep, of course he survives. And he's never out of his suit.
No.
Never takes his tie off.
No.
Which I just think.
No. It's John Wick.
How many suits are on set for you?
There's a bunch. I got like, I got super clean John Wick suits. I got John Wick fighting suits.
Bloody suits.
I got the John Wick all torn up, the beat up suits. I mean, there's like a rack, two racks.
You should release the John Wick collection.
I know. I mean, that's Luca Mosca, the costume designer, does a great job with, just masterful with all of the costumes right. and the tone. I mean, him, Kevin Cavanaugh, the production designer, Dan Lawson, the cinematographer, you know, there's so many people working who are so talented to create this world, you know. I want to be in the world of the Continental. Don't you want to stay at that hotel?
That hotel's amazing.
I mean, I want to stay there. That looks good.
Now we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, Keanu addresses the rumors that he's in the upcoming Fast and Furious spinoff, Hobbs and Shaw. Plus, he tries to imagine another Speed with Sandra Bullock.
Ever thought you'd make a great switchboard operator? Or seltzer man? Or professional royal mistress?
If old-timey jobs are your jam, we've got a podcast just for you. I'm Helen Hong.
And I'm Matt Beat, and we host the new podcast, Jobsolete, taking a look at jobs that used to be a thing and now not so much.
iHeartRadio is number one for podcasts. But don't take our word for it. Find Jobsolete on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to The Big Ticket. I'm your host, Mark Malkin. Now, more of Keanu Reeves.
Okay, let's talk Bill and Ted's.
Oh, Bill and Ted.
How exciting.
Wacky,
this
huh?
is just, did I mean, you how ever many years think, ago? I know, I think probably one of the first times I interviewed you, you were talking about there was a script being developed.
Yeah, I think like 8 years yeah. ago, the writers approached Alex Winter and I about maybe doing something. And then we worked on some drafts together. And then it went through this shenanigans of show business rights right. and deals and stuff. It's been wacky.
So have you started shooting? Are you shooting this
no,
summer?
So we have a wonderful director, Dean Parisot, who's come on board mm-hmm. and it looks like they got the rights sorted. We got some dough and not a lot. Not enough. We don't have enough money. Anyway, I want more shooting days. It's a very ambitious story.
Is it?
Yeah. Anyway, they know I think we need more money.
Did you ever think, how many years ago did you do the first one?
That thought never crossed my mind.
30 years ago?
No. I mean, it's very, life is amazing. Life can be amazing.
But does it seem like 30 years?
Absolutely. It's not 50. I mean, it's not even water under the bridge. It's like, I don't know. It's like an ocean. It's like an ocean liner across an ocean.
What other movie could you see yourself coming back to?
I've always wanted to play John Constantine again.
Yeah, why?
I just love that role too, and I love that character. Mm. I just had a blast playing that character and in that world.
No more Speed? Could you and Sandra get back on a bus together?
I don't know. I've been approached by the producer of that, but I never came together.
I know, because I said
Jack Traven. Annie. Jack and Annie.
We were talking earlier about it. I was like,
we'll be 65. What?
It'll be one of those, like, you know, those vans that they take the elderly around on.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm driving. No, Annie's driving because I don't remember where I am. I won't even care. Where are we going? I want ice cream. You shut up. I'm driving now.
And you're going like 20 miles an hour and you think you're going fast?
There's like a thing. There's a thing. Don't slow down. we're making fun of something. Anyway. Yes.
So no Speed. No more Speed.
I don't think there's any speeding for me going along. No. Unfortunately.
Have you been approached for some of these superhero movies? I feel like we should see you in.
Well, that's kind. I had a brush with a superhero movie, but it didn't work out. I had a brush with a superhero being a part of something. It would be, it'd be fun to do. I mean, I think... You know, DC and Marvel are making really cool movies.
I mean, this is opening weekend of Avengers, and they just announced domestic weekend.
Yeah.
$350 million.
That's awesome.
Worldwide, $1.2 billion.
That's great. I mean, what fun. I mean, it's like really
crazy numbers.
Yeah, but that's because people are excited to see the films and all of the performers and artists who've gone to making, telling right. these stories. This isn't just like a one-off.
Right.
Right?
It's this a decade.
Like, this is like a lot of people have like gone into like, you know, making good stories and and characters and visuals and an amazing movie-going experience, you know? Mm-hmm. And there's nothing like it on Earth.
No.
The resources to make that kind of art is astronomical. And for them to have the appreciation of the audience means they did something right. I mean, that means people are like, yeah, a movie, it's characters. I mean, I think if anything, it's just a testament to how well the artists and everyone involved have made a movie, you know, and that people are excited to see, and that like pays off. That like, I mean, that's like,
and John Wick 3 comes out, what, 3 weeks after it? You're going to take them down from that number one spot, aren't you?
I have no idea. I mean, I hope that people enjoy the film that we're making. Yeah. And that's all. And if we've done that, that's great. And if we do it where the people who pay for the film, Lionsgate, say, okay, they liked your film enough that we can do another chapter, I'd be honored and grateful. You know, that's, you know, we want to make a fun movie. We want to make a good, satisfying John Wick film, you know?
So are you in Hobbs and Shaw? What's happening there?
I'm not. No.
You are listed on IMDb. There are stories that say you are in this movie.
I don't know how that happened. I really honestly do not know how that happened.
That is so weird.
I mean, David Leitch, who I worked with right. Many years ago on The Matrix, and then, you know, worked, you know, he directed John Wick. I've been contacted, but I have no idea how that part of the story happened.
That's very strange.
Yeah, I mean, I've been contacted and I'm in conversation with them, but I don't.
Well, hopefully it'll happen.
Yeah, I mean.
Why not?
Yeah, I mean.
So,
Johnson, Jason Statham are amazing.
And you can hold your own against them.
No.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I've seen what you do with John Wick.
That's John Wick.
Yeah.
I'm just part of the core. If I was doing that, I'd be part of the chorus, man. I'm just like, those gentlemen, those artists are fantastic. And certainly in action, they're extraordinary.
So, two last questions I ask everyone. When was the last time you cried watching a movie?
Crying watching a movie. Where did I have some tears? Crying watching a movie. What's your other question?
What's the one movie you could watch over and over again and never gets tiring?
Gosh. Yeah, I don't have like a film that I like. Okay, I mean, there's films that will come on, and I'll be like, okay, we're watching that,
right?
You know, I think a lot of Scorsese films are like that. They're so seductive right. and great and entertaining. You know, Apocalypse Now comes on, and you're like, okay, I'm watching that. Yeah, that's happening. What else? What was the other one? I'm crying in a movie. Oh, I can't remember.
Are you a crier?
I like the movie. It's good to get moved and you know, see that. I'm trying to think of films right now. Are there any tearjerkers out there? Which ones? What were the movies that came out?
Avengers Endgame.
I haven't seen it yet.
A lot of people are crying.
I bet.
I did. I got a little emotional.
I haven't seen it yet.
Okay, so I won't tell you why I cried.
I know.
What else?
Well, you gave stuff away for John Wick, but with Avengers, you're not going to give anything away? Well, you're all secreted now?
Listen, I had to do the Avengers junket. We weren't allowed to see the movie. Do you know what that's like?
That's not fair.
It's hard.
It's hard to do your job.
Right. And then they sit down. I say, okay, let's talk about something else.
Yeah. I mean, that's not cool.
Right. Thank you for being cool.
Yeah. I mean, but then I guess they want to control the thing.
The spoilers.
Yeah, because you know what? They're smart because you're a spoiler. That's what you know. What
like yeah, in spoiler the, alert.
You're a spoiler.
John Wick kills people.
That guy. He's just a like in the breakdown of the analysis of you. You know, of the analytics of you.
He's just right there. Never just, jumped in again. He's like, spoiled.
He's a spoiler, right? Maybe they just told you there was a whole thing that like maybe you were the only one who didn't get to see it.
Wow.
And everybody else was in on it.
Or maybe they showed me a different John Wick. That's not the real Wick because they knew I was going to spoil it.
No, because I was played John Wick in what you talked about, which
at least you gave away. At least you say you did.
No, I'm not joining your conspiracy.
Well, you're amazing. Thank you, sir.
All right, cheers.
This is awesome.
That was Keanu Reeves. Thanks so much for listening. The next episode, I'm at the Cannes Film Festival. It's all next week on The Big Ticket.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.